This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
Grab that cuppa and sit down for Conversations with the Mayor. Join in now as Taran speaks with our region's leaders.
Morena and welcome to Conversations with the Mayor or Chair on Access Radio Taranaki. Today we have the lovely Craig Williamson in the studio and he just dared me to call him the Mayor of Taranaki. Morena, Craig.
Morena, only because you said Mayor by mistake.
I did. How are you today?
I'm pretty good, thank you.
That's good. Hey, you've had a really interesting summer. Your daughter, Izaro, has dominated the waves across Aotearoa. Tell us more about that.
Okay, she's been training really hard. She's had a few. She hasn't had many big wins. She's had lots of finals. And the last year or so, or couple of years, we first entered in a national competition. Maybe we've been to this was our third nationals. We went to Dunedin, then we did the one here, and then we've done this. This one in Gisborne, she's only 14. She was 14 at the time, she's 15 now.
Oh my gosh.
She's longboarding, she's fallen in love with longboarding, which is the more graceful style of surfing. And longboarding criteria or judging has gone back to the good old days, how it used to be. So it's all about style and grace, walking your board, using the whole board, nose riding, drop knee turns, everything else. So it's so distinct from shortboarding. Is not funny, but it's very, very cool. So we feel pretty privileged that she's decided to do that style of surfing.
Yeah.
And we have some very good breaks close by, so we don't always need to be chasing the biggest or the most barreling wave, because longboarding you can ride anything. You don't really on these, they're 9 foot plus logs, we call them, so you
oh
don't
oh my gosh
this is the, the traditional Hawaiian style, so you don't want, or Californian style, you don't want really gnarly waves, because you just can't drop in on these boards, and you can't turn them. So it's quite a different style of surfing, but it actually, in my opinion, the females just look fantastic when they do it. It's so graceful.
Like ballet on the waves.
Yeah. So I've been longboarding for quite a while. My wife started to longboard too. We actually did, because I can't dance, when it was our wedding back in 2006. Maybe we did a longboard waltz, because that's just cross-stepping.
Did you? Oh, that's lovely.
That's kind of funny at the time. So there you go. So she actually went and finally, I guess, realised her potential in Gisborne and won the junior longboarding.
Mm.
And then 20 minutes later, after the junior boys went out and won the open longboarding as well.
Yes.
So that's quite a feat, turned a lot of heads. That's phenomenal. So she ended up on the front page of the Daily News.
Yes, and she did.
We've got a live magazine interview coming up. They're going to put something in the autumn edition. And she's managed to pick up one new sponsor and kind of got the wind in her sails.
Yeah, that's incredible. Mm. So is she going to carry on? She's got other comps in her sights?
I wonder if I should say it. Shall I break it here?
Oh,
now?
Yes, do it.
Yeah, we're going to go to Noosa, and she'll be going in her, which is the biggest longboard festival in the world, and she'll be going in a WSL event.
Oh, there. No way. That's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
So cool.
So we're very excited about that. So she's training out,
Yeah. When is that?
But she's telling the story because she feels like she can inspire other girls.
Yeah.
She wants more girls in the water.
Yeah, yeah.
More people surfing, more people having a crack,
That's incredible.
And realising their potential. So.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's mid-March. That's only about a month.
Oh, that's not far away.
Away, yeah.
Exciting. Are you going to go with her?
What do you think?
Yeah, I do. Proud dad moment.
Proud dad moment. Yeah, so actually, yeah, they do have an old fat guys division at the festival as well. So we'll see how we go.
Oh, that's so how old was she when she started surfing?
four or five, we were pushing her into waves down at Fitzroy Beach on little days, and down with the New Plymouth Surf Riders Club on Friday nights, have a go day, all of that. She only really liked to do it when other kids were around. So
yeah.
we were really keen. Come on, let's go to the beach, let's go surfing. She was like, But then if there were other kids there, she would. And then, and it's quite cool because every now and then those old videos that we took, took on our phones or Facebook things that we posted of, this tiny little top standing up and getting in position, riding the waves all the way to the shore. They keep popping up. So, but it was probably, and then she got maybe to 9 or something, and she was like, "Dad, don't push me anymore. It's embarrassing. People can see me. I can do it myself." So they all go through that phase. I can do it myself, and then they're trying to paddle into waves, but it becomes so much harder because then you have to read the waves and figure out where a set's coming, get yourself in the right position. And if you want to go along the face of the wave, you actually have to move out to the side, but not too far so you'd miss the wave, but far enough so that you're not just in the whitewash all the time, and it becomes very, very difficult. So it was maybe a summer of I'm doing it myself, don't push me. And I remember one day distinctly, maybe she was 10 or something, and she caught nothing in an hour in the water with me, and I'm there on my longboard catching a bunch of waves. She's got a shortboard, so they all want shortboards. And I was like, okay, we're going soon. This is a waste of time. You haven't caught a thing.
Yeah.
Do you want to just have a go on my board? She's like, yeah, okay. It's pretty big. Just have a go, see what happens. First wave she paddled into, she caught. She stood up, she cross-stepped, and rode it all the way to the shore.
Whoa.
So that was like a turning point. And then she wouldn't give it back. And she got about 12 waves in the next half an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
And then she was like, I kind of like that, Dad.
Oh.
And so then, yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Good story, eh?
Yeah, that's a really, really, really good story.
Yeah. So so here we are now, and we'll see what the future holds. But
I'm so excited for her.
It's fun. Every time she's out there in a competition, we just have a heart attack, Because it's cutthroat, man, If you can get, if you have a bad heat, then you might get knocked out in an early round, and that's it. And you drove all the way to the other side of the country, or you've flown somewhere for nothing.
Yeah, I remember when we had the women's comps here.
Yep.
Yeah, I remember watching that. Girls crying if they had a bad heat.
Well, you imagine. That ASB or WSL stuff, you come from the other side of the world, and you can have a bad heat, or you might be sick on the day. But that's just sport, I guess. Look at those people who've gone to the Olympics. They're stoked to have gone to the Olympics, but they might get three runs in the big air or whatever it is and three jumps, and then you don't qualify for the finals. And even finals, then you get three more. So
it's not a lot.
It just doesn't sound like a football World Cup or something where you have three matches in your pool rounds, or four even. No, three. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
But that's sport, I guess.
And what about...
That's life, really, isn't it?
It is. What about your little guy? Is he into surfing?
He can do it. He reckons he can do it, so he doesn't need to do it anymore.
Sounds a bit like my 5-year-old.
Yeah, a little guy's 7 now. He had a better run last year because I think we had a summer last summer.
Mm.
So the kids are just back at school again now, and summer's just started. We've had such a terrible run.
Haven't we? It's been the worst summer I can remember
in
a long time.
On one hand, you could probably count the days that we've had at the beach with him.
Yeah.
But he'll do it after once he's finished throwing sticks, collecting rocks, jumping off sand dunes or sand banks, playing with his monster truck, burying himself, building sand castles and smashing them. And then he might, we'll go for a surf now.
Yeah. Okay, I'm glad to know it's not just my kid who's like that. Now, speaking of our summer here, what has the surf been like in Taranaki?
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
It's been terrible. Oh, it's only been been a few days that have been good. It's been very small. People have had to drive to find any waves at all. There's been lots of onshores. And lots of rain, as you know. Nobody's last year we were probably talking about the drought in South Taranaki.
Yes, we were.
Yeah, we're certainly not this year.
No.
But might be a late summer, you never know.
You never know. I always say March is the month that can make or break a summer in Taranaki.
That's right. So, yeah.
But our water quality seems to have been better than some of the other regions in Aotearoa.
Well, you know, it's obviously it was all over the headlines on the weekend, what happened in Wellington.
So, yeah. And now how many tons of litres of...
Okay, so in Wellington, and this is a Wellington problem, but they've had it for ages, and this comes down to investing in your infrastructure and building what you should build at the time you can build it, and not leaving it too late when it's going to cost an astronomical amount to do it properly. So they are treating their wastewater, but not to anywhere near the standard of the likes of ourselves that we do here in Taranaki. But they just pump it out into Cook Strait.
I cannot believe
1,800 metres out. They've got an outfall pipe and they pump it into deep water out there. It just dissipates, but it's still pretty shitty shit. Unfortunately, and we've known about it for a while, but you know, out of sight, out of mind, and that's what they do in Wellington, which is fine for them, I suppose. Nobody notices until your pipe blocks up, which it has just done, and then 170 million litres of raw sewage has been being pumped on the south coast there every single day. So they've managed to reconnect it to the longer pipe now, but that was about 5 days of... There were warnings not to go anywhere near the beach. Don't even walk on the beach. Obviously, no swimming or surfing. Don't take your dogs to any of those South Coast beaches.
Far out.
In Wellington.
No fishing.
Certainly no shellfish for a long time. That's just an incredible amount of contamination. And I was listening to some stuff on national radio as we were driving all over the show with surfing last weekend, and it was like there wasn't even a contingency really for if that happened.
That's insane.
So they're I think they need to get a new part or do some proper repairs. So I'm pretty sure, I could be wrong, but it might still be raw sewage, but at least it's further away from the beach, but it's not great.
No, and it blows my mind that in 2026 we still have places like that in Aotearoa. I guess I'm relatively lucky that I grew up in Taranaki, and we've had a system for a couple of decades, haven't we?
Three or four decades, so quite some time. I'm not sure exactly when it was. It might have been the 80s. And there was a big stink about it. And I think it was my old mate Daisy Lean fought long and hard for the wastewater treatment plant that we've got.
Yeah.
Whereas others, even in his council at the time, were saying, oh, no, that's way too much. Just make the pipe a bit longer and pump it out to sea. So obviously they in Wellington, they might have had that debate over the years, and they just decided to keep pumping it out to sea. So now look what happens. And now it'll be an infinitesimal amount more to do anything different than that. You need land to put it on. You need to build a treatment thing. You need oxidisation ponds.
Far out,
And then you can do, MPDC, but even here they've got that new furnace for the sludge, which dries it all out.
Yes, and turns it into fertilizer. Yeah.
But even just replacing that's costing them
a lot of
$75 million.
Yeah, a lot of potia there.
Stupid. Anyway, let's not go there.
But better than pumping it out to sea.
Well, you just can't do that.
Yeah.
And even then now they might have to replace their pipe, or who knows what they're going to have to do. But they should have done it a long time ago. I guess that's the point. The fact that, I know in Porirua they did, back in the 90s, I think they did one. And it cost, $20 million or something at the time. Wellington should have done it then, but I guess they could get away with what they were doing. they just keep doing it.
Yeah, well, if no one throws up a big enough of a fuss, eh? People don't know about it.
Yeah, but I guess this sort of segues into all of that sort of infrastructure. Local communities have to pay for it.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, they do.
In the background, you've got central government putting more and more and more costs, or more and more of their costs onto local communities.
Yes, indeed.
They've been making local councils the scapegoats for inflation going up and up and up, mm-hmm. because rates have to go up and up and up, because actually the costs of infrastructure especially is going up and up and up.
Mm.
Right, so these are building costs, construction costs, they have done over, and there's no other mechanisms to get, I mean, you know, we can't charge GST actually. We have to pay GST. The rates that you get charged, did you realise? 15%
of
your
not.
Rates go to central government.
So of the rates that I pay to councils?
Yes, so it's a tax on a tax. It is so stupid. I've argued against it before. But some people will say it's actually not a tax, it's a rate, but it's a tax. So you're paying tax on the tax, because you pay tax. Do you pay tax on your income?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so you've paid tax, right?
Yes, yeah, I paid tax.
You use the money that you saved to pay your rates.
Yeah.
And you're paying tax again. Two taxes. And both lots of those taxes are going to central government.
I was a local government reporter, and I didn't even realise that my rates included GST. Surely you would leave that with the councils to spend on things like infrastructure.
You would think so.
You would.
Yes, because that's infrastructure and it's roading and it's just all sorts of stuff that councils have to, all the compliance stuff that we have to do, and more and more and more. Every time governments change or government changes its mind and we need to come up with new plans or whatever, we need to hire staff, we need to find offices for them.
But don't forget, keep it under that rates cap.
Although the government... So we have to pay rates on, we being regional council, on our buildings, of course.
Yeah.
And everybody, every commercial property, everything has to pay rates except for government buildings.
What?
There's no rates on them.
Seriously?
Seriously.
But you have to pay rates on your council buildings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wouldn't it be good if the government paid rates on the buildings and the land they owned, or that owned or whatever, in Taranaki? And wouldn't it be good if the GST that everybody pays on their properties in Taranaki, if all of that went back to Taranaki, we might actually not have to put rates up all the time so much just to keep up with inflation. Anyway, that's a big circular conversation, but it's kind of comes back to... I've got a bit of a beef with this government at the moment because they were, and I'm not going to say who I voted for, and it doesn't matter, but, and quite rightly so, they were campaigning on an infrastructure deficit. And I just remember, you know, Wellington at the time, pipes were leaking, bursting in the streets.
That's
remember
right.
that was the news, and it was like, this is an infrastructure deficit. Councils have been wasting money. They should have focused on infrastructure. That's going to be a big thing. We're going to invest in heaps of infrastructure ourselves. That'll get the economy going.
Sounds good.
Fine and dandy. Yeah, it sounds good. But then if you are also under a lot of political pressure because of inflation and you can't contain it, although you said you promised it that you could, although you never should have, because most of it was coming from overseas.
Yeah, global
anyway,
economy.
Anyway, but then as inflation starts coming down and so the Reserve Bank...
adjusts the OCR.
Adjusts the OCR downwards and you take credit for it.
Yes. Very good at taking credit.
Although it happened everywhere else in the world too at the same time. But you take credit for it, and this is because of what we've done.
Mm.
And then councils are still playing catch up with the infrastructure deficit and construction costs and the costs of those core materials like cement and everything else that you have to build roads and infrastructure with. has been running even higher inflation, right? Because and a lot of that is from overseas, and it's a lot, and it's to do with the electricity supply and a whole lot of other things that
And we're still recovering from the shortage of supplies during COVID. My husband's in the construction industry; so many projects were, you know, came halting to a stop because there wasn't jib or
I know. And so then you, politically it would sound good if we say rates cap and we're going to say that there's going to be a rates cap, well, which they actually soften to a rates band between 2 and 4%. But that's based on, anyway, so it's ridiculous even saying that or attempting to do that when you've been harping on about your infrastructure.
Poor infrastructure.
Deficit, exactly. But you're not creating any other tools for councils to raise money other than rating.
To me, all it seems like they're doing is kicking the can further down the road, and it's going to be our children who have to deal with the rate increases from fixing the infrastructure that we're not going to be able to fix right now.
Well, yes, it'll be very, very hard under a rates cap. So
yeah.
And so, yeah, well, I mean, there's just so many problems with that idea. So even if... remember the golden clams? That was a big deal before Christmas.
We're trying to deal with that. Yeah, like Rotamanu, eh?
So, like, and I might have talked about it last time. If we as a council, so Lake Rotamanu, there's an infestation of golden clams, which are terrible things that they're no good. You can't eat them or anything. There's no use in them. They just multiply.
Take over the waterways.
And take over the waterways completely. Yeah. And they would, you know, they would take over the pipes and they'd ruin all our lakes. And if they got into Mangamahoe, we'd be in real trouble. And it's about...
Oh, my gosh.
It's about hoping that it doesn't spread or reducing the spread. So we had to drain... We drained the lake. Or the lake was drained, halfway or a little bit further. And then some more analysis and assessment was done. But the point I was going to make was if that infestation was throughout the lake and it was decided or we were obliged because of legislation that we had to actually deal with it for the benefit of
the region's the waterways,
all waterways around the country, all of that, the cost is on the ratepayers, right? So the cost would have been, we would have had to have done it and we would have had to pay for it ourselves and it would have costed in the millions of dollars, you see?
Oh, I didn't realise that.
So those sort of things.
Yeah.
But at the moment, the legislation is not allowing for anything other than natural disaster that you might be able to get out of your rates cap band you'd have to apply to. So
far out.
But yeah, so that's just an example. So if suddenly... Wellington, right? So suddenly their sewage system needs a complete rehaul. It's going to cost them $100 million. The only way for them to deal with that would be through rating, because there's no other mechanisms. And it depends what your borrowing capacity is at too. But you know, you can only borrow so much. Yeah. And if you do borrow, you still have to pay it back and pay interest on it.
That doesn't necessarily
make things a whole lot easier. So if there is a rates cap, but not allowing for those sort of things or those sort of upgrades. And the rates cap, you know, it's going to be across the board. So back to the clams.
Yep.
the infestation wasn't huge. It's just around that boat ramp area. I think that they've taken what they can.
Yep.
And, we're still waiting for some more assessments and advice, but it's not necessarily going to mean completely draining the rate. Like removing or
it was
euthanizing the
best
the fish
case
and
scenario that we could have hoped for, really.
Yes, I mean, I had they would have even had to make sure you get them all out, you'd have to dredge the whole thing
far out,
50
man.
Centimeters down. It would have been massive, it would have taken years and cost many, many millions. So, hopefully, we don't have to do that. Back to rates capping, it sounds good. But, and also, like I know, I've been on regional council for 16 years now.
Long time.
Probably for 10 of those years, you know, we weren't increasing our rates at all. It was either zero or inflation because we didn't need to.
Wow.
And we're still one of the lowest rating regional councils in the country.
So you're not doing it, when you do increase, it's not just for fun.
No, it's absolutely not. And more often than not, it's because of stuff that central government are making us do that we have to accommodate by hiring more staff or growing, getting more capacity. So my point would be that the councils who have been doing rate increases all the time over many, many years, and they've got a really high, you know, the highest rating councils in the country are going to have a higher base at which to start the rate capping from.
Yeah, you're right. They're launching from a different place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, one size does not fit all.
No, it certainly doesn't. But there's a lot going on in the government at the moment in regards to how they're treating local government. I mean, you've got the local government reforms, the RMA, it seems to be never ending.
It's never ending, and they're just pushing so much through stuff at us all of a sudden. And a big rush, largely because it's political and there's an election this year.
I was going to say, it's election year.
It is. Yeah. They don't have bipartisanism on a lot of it. And so, once again, you know, if the government changes, then it might all get, you know, turned on its head again, which it often does. So there was an RM changes to the Reserve Management Act coming through under the last government. Instead of, then we got a change of government and they threw all that out and started again. There's lots of similarities in the latest iteration, but so that came through in December, and you've got till February to give your feedback on it or do your submissions, which we're doing. We've got a couple of submissions coming up in our policy and planning meeting tomorrow to consider and approve or modify as a committee. Yeah. There is that one, and I've never seen actually a submission to a government proposition with so much feedback that we've given, because obviously they haven't engaged with the sector. You know, the RMA stuff, the spatial planning, the environmental planning stuff, that's huge for us, and it's a lot of what we do. So we're giving them copious amounts of feedback. We're saying, in principle, yes, the RMA needs an overhaul, but engage with the sector and do it properly and make sure that you get it right. And don't, you just can't rush these things because, you know,
it's election year. Want to get it over the line.
You know, ideally you have bipartisan support and you get something that's going to last.
Something cohesive that's going to last and not be changed in 3 years' time.
Well, yeah, exactly. And something that's going to work actually with the local communities. You know, there's this whole thing about localism, and that's another gripe I've got. You know, you can't go on and on about localism. As soon as you get into power, you want to centralise everything, and you don't. There is no local voice.
Exactly.
And don't get me started on simplifying local government.
I was just going to say, because that is reflected in the simplification of local government. It's what it's all about. It's taking away localism.
The whipping boy in that case was the regional councils. We want to get through this RMA stuff. There's a few regional councils in the country, not ours, that we that aren't towing the line. Let's get rid of the governance of regional councils and put the mayors in charge. What a stupid idea that is.
I know.
Where did that come from?
And also, I didn't elect none of us elected our mayor to take care of the regional council either.
The mayors don't want to take care of the regional
council. No, they don't.
The mayors don't know how to do it. The mayors don't have that sort of an understanding to not even leave any regional council governance in place in your proposal. So this has been rejected by the entire sector, and the large majority of mayors and district councils, and also obviously all of the unitaries and regional councils. This is just not going to work.
No.
It is not going to work. You can't be pushing through all of this change all at once and then have no experience and no governance left
to drive the ship
in the regional sector, because a lot of the RMA stuff falls on the regional councils.
Yeah,
and the governance is there for a reason. And they're very good, and they work hard across the motu. And like you said, that's what we were elected to do.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what people voted for.
That's what we voted for.
And, you know, to say that the turnout was low or whatever, you know, that it might create downward pressure on rates, I think was the line they used. That is just such a cop-out.
It is.
Because there's no guarantee it would. Nothing's been budgeted or planned for.
Yeah.
They didn't, exactly, like I said, they didn't engage with the sectors. The CEs, the chief executives, whose jobs aren't on the line, because they say they'll leave regional councils in place, but with different governance.
That they might get to a point.
No, they're just saying, this is ridiculous, this is stupid, this is not going to work. Why didn't you talk to us before you came up with this plan?
Yeah.
It feels like it was done on the back of an envelope, sorry, or some very junior graduate policy people who are working with the ministers on it.
Yeah,
you know, there is thousands and thousands of years and experience in the sector that they could have engaged with, and they could have come up with something a hell of a lot more. Yeah,
and you know what? The community deserves that. The community deserves that experience and that engagement.
That's right.
We deserve that.
Because by default, they're planning on centralising everything and putting mayors in with commissioners.
Mm.
How many commissioners have they got to go around, and what astronomical fees are they going to charge?
Yeah, exactly. And not only that, but having a commissioner in charge makes me feel uncomfortable. That's something that's been appointed by central government.
Yes.
That's not local voices. That's not what local people might want for their region. You know, we have iwi and history and so much here in Taranaki that is taken into account when we vote for who we want to lead our region.
And you vote for people who are going to advocate for your region, who you trust, who you know, who
exactly.
you can bump into on the street, you'll know who they are.
Yeah.
And you can talk about, you know, the water quality in our rivers or whatever you would like to talk about.
That's exactly right. The only benefit I can see to having commissioners is that they have central government would have more control.
So our submissions are there online if you have a look at the policy and planning agenda, and we are asking for some change to that. And I don't think, you know, we've had meetings nationwide throughout the local government sector. Nobody's saying there's not too many district and regional councils in the country. There's far too many. Mm. There's far too many small councils. There's far too many councils. There's far too much overlap and replication. It is time for some reform.
Yeah.
And local government could be much better and much simpler, much easier. If it's because people don't understand, it could be much easier for people to understand. And it could be unitary councils.
Yeah, exactly. There is room for improvement. Nobody's denying that.
It could be a rural inner city council.
Yeah.
It could be, who knows? But what you want to, what you want to do is let the sector itself, and I've got nothing against...
And the people it represents.
I've got nothing against the mayoral forum, which would be the three mayors and me.
Yeah.
Plus, I mean, we're advocating for that, then we could appoint, as a mayoral forum, some commissioners to help us to fill the gaps that we don't have, and that might be, that could be some people with there could be an iwi voice on there, there could be a business voice on there, there could be someone with
all the stakeholders.
Local stakeholders who could contribute, and we could have a very good committee designing our own plan for the region. And then, of course, we'd engage with the region and say, okay, would this local government, would this sort of local government suit you better? Here are some options. This is what we've come up with.
Mm.
Happy to do that.
Yeah, I like that idea much more than a commissioner.
Exactly. And also, look, just on behalf of our team and my fellow councillors, but all of the staff, they need some security. Regional council needs some security, and they need some good governance in place. And they're happy with the governance they've got. They don't want that to change. So we're also advocating that the councillors who were democratically elected for this term, they see out their term.
And
if there's not
going
to be another term after that, and there's going to be some other form of governance or local government in Taranaki after that, that's fine.
Yeah, but tell us before the election.
Exactly.
And let us have a say in how it looks, right?
Imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, imagine letting the locals have a say in how their democracy looks. Gee.
Sounds great.
Gee, that's an outrageous idea. Anyway.
Anyway, Craig, it's been lovely having you in the studio today, as it always is, and I look forward to our next kōrero and finding out more about what's going on in Taranaki.
Thank you.
Mā te wā, whānau.
Adios.
Thanks for listening to this episode. For more information and others just like this, head along to our website, accessradiotaranaki.com.
This show was made at Access Radio Taranaki with help from New Zealand On Air. To find more local content, go to www.accessradiotaranaki.com.